The government's looking to introduce a tough new law to ban so-called high-risk individuals from coming anywhere near guns, even legally owned ones. A firearms prohibition order, or FPO, could be applied to anyone who has serious convictions for violence or family harm, firearms offending, or gang-related activity, and would prevent them from living at or visiting a property where there are guns, even if the owner is licensed. FPOs could be issued by the police and would allow them to search premises, a vehicle or person without a warrant. I asked Police Minister Stuart Nash who could be subject to these orders.
Gang members, obviously, if they have committed crimes of violence or firearms offences, could well be covered under this. But just because you're a member of a gang doesn't necessarily mean that you will be subject to a firearms prohibition order.
So you're ruling out it applying to gang members unless they have convictions. You're ruling that out now.
Yeah, just because you are a member of a gang, it doesn't mean that you'll be subject to a firearms prohibition order.
You said at least one conviction. Is that serious enough, one conviction, to warrant these limitations on your freedoms?
No, so what we've done is in the consultation document, there are a range of scenarios we've put forward, and they range from, for example, two convictions, and they are convictions of violence or a conviction where a firearm has been used or a breach of a protection order, all the way through to a number of convictions. Keeping in mind, and we've been very open about this, that firearm prohibition orders do breach human rights, but what I am keen to know from our community is where they see the health and safety and well-being of our communities versus the rights of an individual to associate, and where that balance lies, hence the reason why we're going out for consultation.
And in practical terms, what would it mean? If there is an order like this against you, what would that mean?
Well, it would probably mean that you cannot associate at a place or with a person or a club where there are firearms. So, for example, you could not go round to a firearms club, obviously. You could not go round, you could not visit someone who had firearms in their property. You could not drive in a vehicle where there are firearms being stored. You cannot be around firearms.
So if you had a family member who lived on a farm, for example, and they had firearms there for pest control reasons, and you had an order against you, you couldn't go and visit those family members at their property, correct?
Well, you certainly could not visit them in their house. No, you could not. Keeping in mind, Lisa, we are talking about the most violent and vile offenders in our community. Okay, so we're not just talking about Joe Average who has got a speeding ticket here. We're talking about those people who have committed crimes of violence and or crimes of violence involving firearms.
Depending on what definition you settle on in this, so that is yet to be decided exactly. One of the suggestions is that these orders could be issued by the police commissioner. Do you think there's sufficient independence in that?
Well, that's how they're done in Australia. So a number of Australian states do have these firearm prohibition orders, and they are issued by the commissioner. But again, in the discussion document, we have talked about whether they're issued by a court or issued by the commissioner. What we haven't done in this document...
What do you think? You're the police minister, so I'm wanting to get an idea of where you sit on this. Do you think having the police issue these orders gives enough independence in a matter that you've already recognised could encroach on people's freedom of movement and their rights?
Well, we've been very clear in the document, and we have been clear on this, is this is how the Australian states do it. However, we've also been clear in the document that there is an argument that these must be imposed by a court. So, again, I haven't a preference at all, and I am, I'm genuinely keen to hear what the people of New Zealand have to say, because, as mentioned, we often have to balance up an individual's human rights versus the health and well-being of our communities. And, just a very simple example is when police pull someone over for a breathalyzer test, that is a breach of someone's human rights. But as a community, we have decided that breach is worth it in terms of the health and well-being of our community and our society.
But you do think we need to go down this path? We need this?
Yes, I do think we do need to go down this path.
So why did you vote against it when it was suggested by Chris Bishop that we have these orders? You and the rest of Labor voted against this in 2018. You could have already had these in place.
No, because his bill was far too narrow. It focused only on gangs as opposed to other serious violent offenders. And it didn't have any of the the new search powers or the additional search powers that that we're discussing in the document. So we just didn't think that legislation was fit for purpose at all.
You voted it down. You voted it down at first reading, though. You could have gone to the Select Committee. You could have made changes. I'm just wondering, did you make a mistake back then?
No, it was fundamentally flawed, the legislation. We think that, you know, when you're looking at a regime like this, you need to be a lot more considered in what you're doing. You need to understand the implications of it, and you need to seek the advice from the communities that you serve. And I think, I think we've landed in a good place in terms of the consultation document. I am very keen to hear what members of our community do have to say, because this is a pretty big issue. And, you know, whenever we propose something that does breach someone's fundamental rights, I think we need to understand the implications. But I'm also very keen to hear what people who aren't as close to this as I am have to say on that.
But you think in this case it is worth breaching people's human rights?
Well, I think we do need an FPO regime. Also, I wouldn't be putting out the discussion document. But, you know, it may well be that 95% of people come back and say we don't need this.
And that's the Police Minister, Stuart Nash.